Everything I know, the earth has taught me. We are born into bodies, into an oxygen-rich environment, dependent on other people to keep us alive. We grow, we age, we die. Shakespeare described it as the seven ages of man. On the surface, a human life is predictable, perhaps even boringly predictable. But in our experience, it can be anything but predictable or boring. Now, Everything I Know is a simple and very audacious title for my reflection today. I acknowledge that. And I apologize if in the end my knowledge is not as great as yours, or too simple, and you already know. I will probably not tell you anything that you don't already know. Nothing that many others, including those in the room, have learned through life experience. But, and I think, like you, it's often helpful to be reminded of what we already know. The spiritual term for being alive in a body is called incarnation. And it is my chosen story that we are spiritual beings who enter into the physical world to learn about it. This physical world is our university, our school. I don't know the ultimate why of why we do this, but I do hope to one day. Right now, I simply follow the breadcrumb path of my life experiences in the general direction of the mystery of it all. I have come to know that all spiritual knowledge can be accessed through being in a body, on the earth. The Buddhist monk Pema Chodron says that this very body that we have, sitting here right now, with its aches and pains and pleasures, is exactly what we need to become fully human, fully awake, and fully alive. Her insight is for some a revelation, because many who enter into a spiritual path or practice, whether Hindu or Muslim or Jewish or Christian, have thought that the body is a detriment to the spiritual path, and they so actively detach from it or fear it, even despise it, hate it, and therefore punish the body for all its needs and desires. Even the Buddha struggled with this in his body, I tell you a story of the Buddha from a book called After Ecstasy, the Laundry by Jack Kornfield. Good title. The Buddha wandered through India for 6 years fasting and undertaking extreme and arduous practices in a battle to overpower all his bodily desires and fears. And finally, he found himself exhausted and close to death, lying on the ground. Spontaneously, a memory arose from when he was a boy seated under a rose apple tree in his father's garden. He remembered how there he had come to him, how it had come to him on that spring morning, all unbidden, the way those miraculous moments can happen. A wondrous sense of wholeness and stillness, his heart at rest and at home in the midst of all things. Amazed, he realized that his whole spiritual quest for liberation had been misguided, a fruitless fight against body and the world. With this vision, he discovered the middle path, an inner unity that neither struggles against the world nor becomes lost in it. He opened his heart to the suffering and the beauty that this life is, and rested in that peace. And at that moment, a young woman came down the path. and seeing the emaciated sage lying on the ground, she offered him a bowl of rice milk that she had been carrying, and he drank it gratefully. And then, refreshed in both body and spirit, he then returned to the world with a renewed understanding. We become detached from our bodies sometimes. It seems hard and weird to say that. Not hard, but weird. Because how can you be detached from your body? It's there all the time. But we have extraordinary processes inside of us that protect us at some points, that create barriers between our pain and our realities. And so people are not necessarily living in their bodies. Becoming detached from our bodies is not just a spiritual path problem. It's also the result of us all living, in my opinion, in a society that is detached from the body. Living a disembodied life is the world that many of us were born into. Or something happened to us in our lives which resulted in us becoming disembodied. Many were told, sit down and don't move, or contain yourself, be a good boy, or don't touch yourself there, that's bad. Eat this, it's good for you. Buy this, it will improve your looks. Wear this, it'll hide all your flaws. That's sort of the world some of us grew into. The writer Eduardo Galeano put it this way. The church says the body is sin. Science says the body is a machine. Advertising says the body is business. The body says, I'm a fiesta. So how do you get from sin, machine, and business to fiesta? Or perhaps even beyond fiesta. Even after my own spiritual insight at about 21 years old, that my spiritual path had to be found in the physical world, it still took me years to begin to embody myself. I began to really get to know my body in acting school. Now, the actor's body is their instrument. And just as the piano must be well known by Ming Xuan before he can play it, or the trumpet needs to be well known by John Hagen before he plays it, so for the actor, you need to know your body so that you can tell the story. Because that's what the skill of an actor is to tell a story. You have to know the story your body's telling before you can tell a different story with it. And that takes a deep knowledge of your body. So in acting school, a lot of the focus is work that allows you to get to know your body and who you are, the story you are in your body. So at acting school, I became aware that my body, I'm going to just show you, my 17-year-old body, okay? Hands in pockets, shoulders up, chest out. So this body tells you a story. What story do you get from this body? Not so confident? Lots of confidence. Maybe even cocky confidence. What else? What else does this story tell you? Bit of a show-off. Say again? Oh, I like that. Pugnacious. Nobody's ever used that word. The thing is that when I took my hands out of my pockets, my shoulders stayed up. Right? Different story. Right? And my chest got stuck out. And that was My body created itself into that shape because of how it was experiencing the world. It created its story to survive in the world. So I would say my shoulders were up because I was protecting myself. My chest was out because I was also a fighter. And so I was going to take you down before you took me down. Right? And I had a lot of confidence, but deep inside, I didn't. I was very, 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 very filled with self-doubt. So in acting school, I learned how to take my shoulders down. And I learned how to soften my chest and come back into my body. So one day in voice class, we were getting to know our intercostal muscles. Those are the muscles between the rib cages. I was sitting up against the wall in the classroom, and I was sort of massaging these intercostal muscles. And without story, without planning, very suddenly, I started to sob. And I sobbed, and I sobbed, and I sobbed as I was softening these intercostal muscles between my rib cages. And as I sobbed, well, after the sobbing and after the massaging, and my ribs started to soften, I began to be able to breathe. Not that kind of breath, but a kind of breath. And I discovered that I'd been holding my breath for years. All part of the story that I had lived through, right? I had survived because I had found a way. But in my decision to continue my spiritual path, which meant becoming more aware of who I was and what I was and what is, I made all these discoveries, and I could start to breathe again. I could start to feel my body, and I could start to become aware of the story that I had been living in for so many years. And with that discovery, I began to have a choice. That I had choice. I began to have choices because I had awareness. And I could start creating a new story. So that's the work that an actor does, to work with and learn about their bodies. And now I've gone completely off text, so I'm going to have to find out where I go back to. So my body taught me a lot at that point. Being able to breathe, being able to feel again, meant I needed to get used to feeling both the hard emotions and the soft emotions, the hot emotions and the cool emotions. And again, this is what an actor needs to be able to feel. But an actor's a human being, and you have to start with your own. So it was my anger, my grief, my confusion that I had to get used to feeling again. So the body taught me a lot. It taught me that being alive is about paying attention to the experiences and lessons that are in my body and in yours. And the first rule of any spiritual practice is pay attention. Pay attention. My experience of living in my body is that I both love it and fear it. I love the strength, the agility, the strength of my muscles, the ability to move freely sometimes. The intricacy of how a body works, I'm in awe of. And I love the experiences that I get through my senses. Smell, sight, sound, touch, taste. I struggle with the limitations of my body, the parts that don't work anymore, or are slowing down. I struggled with illnesses. I had 3 abdominal surgeries in 4 years, and I know pain. I've had lots of pain. And now as I age, the general slowing down and wrinklification of everything. I made that word up, but I saved it. It's now a word in my dictionary. Wrinklification, yeah. And I've also struggled with how society wanted to take away how I named my experiences in my body. Tried to claim descriptions, made judgments, turned my body into their story, not my story. But that did affect how I thought about myself, and to some extent still does. To claim your own body and your own identity requires vigilance, and persistence. And these two are qualities on the spiritual path. What my body has taught me, well, first, that the body is a classroom, as I said before, for all the learning that I couldn't possibly absorb in this lifetime. I've been taught through my body that I am both resilient and fragile, and sometimes at the same time. I have learned in my bones that pain is a really good teacher. And I've also learned that suffering is optional. Pain is a good teacher and suffering is optional. Pain grabs my attention, demands me to focus, but I am not the pain. Pain does not describe who I am. I only begin to suffer when I become defined by the pain. And that is a significant spiritual lesson. And very difficult to stay aware of. I know that I can bring the skills I've learned through decades of meditation practice to the experience of the pain. And I can both feel the pain and not get caught up in it. Some of the time. Isn't that interesting? We can know something and yet have to keep practicing it over and over, and that is spiritual practice. So I learned to pay attention and be present to what is. I also know that my body is a book of wisdom, teaching me patience and gentleness and compassion. I know that our bodies are fiestas, parties of joy and expansive pleasure. The pleasure of being able to feed, as a mother, another human being. The joy of caring for another human being through touch. I think of the pleasure of those moments when you have danced for an hour and your body is absolutely content with the freedom of that movement. I think of the moments when I have tasted exquisite fruit or chocolate or felt the sexual release that transports one's body onto a sea of endorphins. These moments of pleasure, these moments of ecstasy are also spiritual lessons. And as we fear the lessons of pain sometimes, so too do we often fear the lessons of pleasure. Maybe more so. Real pleasure. Pleasure can take us to the edges of freedom, where there are no boundaries, and human bodies are most used to limitations. But I believe, based on my experiences of living in this human body for 6 decades and a bit, that the experiences of physical pleasure lead us to the door of a great mystery that perhaps only our deaths will answer. So I showed you my 17-year-old body, right? And then here's the 62-year-old body. You know? It changes. Well, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. I have a wee challenge to Unitarians, and that is live more in your bodies. Feel your bodies, the pleasure and the pain. Let them be your teacher. Don't get lost totally. Ideas are wonderful. I love ideas. But live it in your body. Live it. I'm not going to tell the story of Ramdas, except quickly, he was he started as a Harvard professor. He explored LSD, experimenting with Tom Leary, and then he went off to India and became a guru, and then he came back to North America, and he became a social justice advocate in the world. And then he had a stroke, huge stroke, and he lost his ability to move and to talk. And he says, about a year after his stroke, he had his wheelchair put on the stage of some benefit for him, and he said, yeah, I know it's, I'm breaking the rules that you're not supposed to talk at your own benefits, but he wanted to say something to the people that had supported him for so long, that he had had many lives in this body, and he'd had many identities in his life. And here he was in a body that could barely talk and couldn't move much anymore, and this was his new identity. And he said, I am no longer the Harvard professor, I'm no longer the guru. This is my new me. There's no comparison, it's just different. This is my curriculum. That's the words he used. This is now my curriculum. And you've got to take your curriculum, he said. So my question then is to all of us is, who are we now? And what is your curriculum? What is the curriculum your body is asking you to pay attention to? One of my curriculums in this lifetime has been to pay attention to where my heart leads me. And over the past 10 years, my partner Theo and I have very successfully had a long-distance relationship. It worked for both of us. He lives in Nanaimo, I lived here, and we've traveled across that Salish Sea at least once a month, maybe sometimes more. But recently, as my body has begun to age, and his too, we've come to an awareness that it's time for us to try something new. And so recently, we decided that we were going to try living together as two old independent people. We're not sure what the curriculum will be, but we thought we'd give it a shot. And I'm telling you this because, and some of you know, an email went out earlier this week, and if you were on that email list as a friend or member of the community, you would have heard that I was letting everyone in the community know that I would be not renewing my contract with you for next year, and that we would have a wonderful next 5 months together, and then I will be leaving town to go and live with my paramour. It was a difficult decision. I'm looking at the man in the front row, just so you know. This is Theo. It's been a very difficult decision to make. It brings up a lot of loss because this community and I have fit together hand to glove for 7 years. It's been a great, wonderful ride together. But we begin the end together now. We begin the end. And we will do it well. And I will be around after the service for anyone who wants to talk to me. Theo's going to be around too. If you want to say anything to him, be nice. Be nice to him. And this will be a joyful ending as well as a time of loss. So we're going to have Ming Xuan. We're going to have some music now just to let all these words settle for a moment. And then we'll have our time of joys and sorrows.